We're starting, having done 4 weeks in John chapter 4, which Paul did, which just to honour Paul, I thought was outstandingly good. I think we had a fantastic time exploring John chapter 4. And we're now going to take 3 weeks to start a new mini-series around, I guess, more of the character and the nature of Jesus. And Rebecca Stansbury, raise your hand, Rebecca. This is Rebecca down here, an incredibly prophetic voice in our community. She sensed the Lord say to her that two phrases. The first one was that my sheep hear my voice, and the second one was Jesus the Good Shepherd. And she felt like the Lord opened up to her a series of teaching that we might do over the next few weeks, which is all about Jesus the dot, dot, dot. You can fill in the blank. Well, we're going to fill in the blanks, actually. But you could fill that blank in however you wanted. And we want to explore this idea of coming to know Jesus better and coming to know the different and multiple sides to his character. And knowing his voice is an important part of that. And so this evening, we're going to unpack some of this stuff in John chapter 10 to start. And so the first one in this series is Jesus the Good Shepherd. And so we're going to start there. Is that okay? Great. Wonderful. Let's get going. We're going to do this in a couple of parts. And there's so much you could say about the verses you've heard. I want to focus in on just verses 3 and 5 for a moment before we take on to the next section. I just want to read those two verses again. So John chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. I think it's really really easy to make the reality of knowing Jesus and knowing the voice of Jesus much more about us than it is about him. I think it's so easy for us to become entrapped in this kind of mindset and this world of understanding and knowing the voice of Jesus and making it so much about us. It's through our fear or insecurity about what the voice of Jesus means, and when we say the voice of Jesus, there'll be a ton of different things going on in your hearts and your minds in this room, even as I speak. The voice of Jesus, for me and for so many people in this room, is just incredibly important, because if we are his sheep, to know his voice is to be able to follow him. We are able to follow him because we know his voice. It says it. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. So knowing his voice for us here at Christ Church is incredibly important. But it's in the room, there's so many different things going on. Some of us will have bad experiences of people like me standing at the front talking about the voice of God. And you'll be sitting there uncomfortable and nervous about whether Jesus can even speak, does even speak. And in doing that, we make it really all about us. It becomes about you. And through fear and insecurity or disappointment, maybe you've cried out to Jesus on multiple occasions and you never felt like he answered you. That's a huge disappointment and a burden to carry, and we want to recognize that this evening. But we want to make this about him, because it's his voice. His voice is the key element. It's him. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. And if we're to follow him, we must get to know his voice. The activity of the shepherd is interesting here. And I want to just separate out just for a moment the activity of the shepherd and the activity of the sheep. Because the activity of the shepherd is so multifaceted here. The initial activity of the shepherd tells us so much about him. And when we're talking about the shepherd, we're talking about Jesus. The sheep enters the pen. The sheep listen to his voice. Which means as he enters the pen, presumably he's already speaking, because they're already listening. As he enters the pen, the sheep listen to his voice. So the first activity of the shepherd is he enters, he's already talking. As he enters the pen, he's already talking. He continues to speak. He calls them out by name. He leads them out. And he goes on ahead of them. The activity of the sheep, of the shepherd, is multifaceted. He calls them by name. He leads them out. He goes on ahead of them. There are so many facets to the activity of the shepherd in this passage. And actually, when you compare it to the activity of the sheep, the activity of the shepherd is so much greater than the activity of the sheep. The activity of the sheep, I think, are threefold. It's threefold. I think, number one, the activity of the sheep is to listen. As the shepherd enters the pen, they listen to his voice. They listen to his voice. Number two, the activity of the sheep is to know. Now, I want to say that, for me, knowing is an activity. Hey, I want to say that knowing, that's so cool. I've got pictures of my own daughter running through my head right now. Sorry, side pause. Last night, you know, as parents, if you're a parent here, so you have great plans of what it's going to be like at certain moments in your parenthood to get your children to sleep particularly. Helen and I last night had a great plan of getting our children to sleep in the car because we were traveling back from somewhere. And the plan was they're going to go to sleep and we're going to just so wonderfully and smoothly transfer them from the car into their bed. And it will all be fine, and then we can go out to a thing that we were going to in the evening. And our eldest, who's 4 and a half, was asleep in the car. In fact, they were both asleep in the car. The plan was going excellently. And when I took Jessica out. She's 4 and a half, and she sort of began to stir in my arms. And I thought, that's okay. She's done that before. And I thought, it'll be fine. She'll go back to sleep. And so we put her in her bed. And Helena sat with Raffi, our youngest one, and she's fast asleep, and she's fine, she's gone. But Jessica is waking up, she is not going to sleep. And the longer I sit with her in a bed, the more she wakes up. And then she turns to me and she says, I don't know why I can't go to sleep. And then we have to take her out, and we actually take her to an event with us, because she's not going to sleep. And she didn't go to sleep till about 10:30, so I identify with the lovely girls. That's Esther, isn't it? Just running around. Okay, play. So the activity of the sheep is threefold, to listen, to know. And I want to say that knowing is an activity, okay? Just as resting is an activity, sleeping is an activity. Activity to me isn't dependent on like physical exertion. So I want to say that knowing is an activity. So number one, to listen. Number two is to know. Number three, the activity of the sheep is to follow. That is it. The activity of the sheep in response to the shepherd is to listen to his voice, to know his voice, and to follow where he goes. That's it. Now, somewhere along the way, we've made following Jesus an incredibly difficult thing. And I understand that there are complexities around it, but the activity of the sheep is simple. Does that make sense? So much of discipleship is about following Jesus. And if we're going to follow Jesus, we need to know his voice. The sheep follow because they know his voice. There's a classic story of people in banks who learn to study fraudulent notes. And you've probably heard this story before, but the way that they train people to study fraudulent notes is they just saturate their minds with the real deal. They just put in front of them the real notes, just hour after hour after hour, so that when the fraudulent one comes along, they're like, boom, that's definitely not it. And the reason the sheep run away from the stranger is because they're so engulfed and encompassed in the voice of the shepherd. That's why they can distinguish between what is and isn't the shepherd. And so I guess in response to our lives this evening and our response to Jesus this evening is, Are you saturating yourself in Jesus? Is your life engulfed with the presence and the voice of Jesus? Are you putting yourself in positions where moment by moment by moment by moment, minute, day after day, hour after hour, you can just put the voice of Jesus right in front of you? And so when the other thing comes along, when the stranger comes along and tries to take you a different direction, you definitely don't go there. In fact, you run in the opposite direction because it's so different to that wonderful voice that you know and that you love. Sometimes we stray off in crazy directions simply because we've forgotten the voice of the shepherd. And so knowing the voice of Jesus, knowing the voice of the shepherd is so important. Okay, if you've got a Bible, just flick over to John chapter 20 for me. Excuse me. John chapter 20. Now, I'm obviously really happy to be disagreed with that knowing the voice of Jesus is important. You can disagree with me on that, and I'm sure there were people here who do disagree with me with that. That's fine. Absolutely, genuinely fine. But I want to say that from my perspective, I place a high value on that, and I place a high value on the voice of Jesus in my life. And I think it's really important. And there are lots of things for me that can help in learning to know and recognize the voice of Jesus. I just want to focus on just a couple of things from one moment, from one encounter in John chapter 20. And it's when Jesus appears to Mary at the tomb after he's risen from the dead. And I just want to read a few verses to you, verses 11 to 18, and then we're going to look at two things, and then we'll wrap up. It says this, "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They've taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. Jesus said, 'Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God.' Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, 'I have seen the Lord.' And she told them that he had said these things to her." I want to just look at this one moment. And I want to look at two things that I think are important in helping to teach us how to learn, to recognize, and to know the voice of Jesus in our lives. The first one I want to talk about is perspective. You see, Mary is at the tomb. She's obviously sad. She's crying. She bends over and peers into the tomb. Notice she doesn't go inside the tomb. She bends over and she peers into the tomb, and she sees two angels dressed in white. They ask her the question, "Woman, why are you crying?" And she says that she's lost Jesus, and she thinks he's been taken away. She stands up and she turns around, and she sees Jesus standing there. But as verse 14 says, she does not realize that it's him. When it says that Mary saw Jesus standing there, that word in the original, the see that she saw, that word saw, it really is conveying a sense of like purposeful intent. Like she's really trying to see. It's very, very purposeful, that word. It's not just that she turned around and saw something. She turned around and she saw, but she didn't realize. Which is interesting to me. I like words. She sees with intent, she sees with purpose, but she doesn't realize who it is that stands in front of her. sometimes what we see isn't accurate. Sometimes the thing that we're looking for is not rightly placed in our sight. The things that we see, we can't trust what we see. She sees with intent. She sees, but she doesn't realize. She sees Jesus, but she doesn't realize it's him. Sometimes what we see is not accurate enough, which is why we love and believe in a multi-sensory God. Because her sight didn't give her what she needed. And yet later on, her hearing did. I don't know who you believe in when we talk about this kind of stuff, but I believe in a multi-sensory God. A God who can speak to me through this book, time and time and time again, through what I see in his word, through what I hear, through what he speaks to me, through film and TV, through music, through creation, through people that speak to me. He is multi-sensory, multifaceted in his voice. It's not just one way. And so Mary sees, she sees Jesus, but she doesn't see Jesus. She doesn't realize it's him. And Jesus asks her exactly the same question that the angels asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" And he tags on the end, who is it that you're looking for? And then a really fantastic point for me, I love this. Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will go and get him." See, to me, the power of your perspective will shape the reality of your perception. And I'm going to unpack that. You see, Mary, thinking that he was the gardener, when he spoke to her and she heard his voice the first time, she still didn't realize who was speaking to her. I think it's because the power of her mind was such that she thought he was the gardener. Therefore, when she heard his voice, her brain overrid her ears, whatever that means, and she just couldn't hear that it was Jesus, because the power of her perspective was that he was the gardener. He was the gardener. Therefore, when she heard his voice, she still didn't realize who it was. She still didn't realize. Perspective is your attitude towards something. Perception is your understanding of something. They're different things. Perspective is your attitude. Perception is your understanding. And I think that it was Mary's perspective that hindered her perception. Because her attitude was it was the gardener, and her understanding was that she wasn't aware of who she was speaking to. Your perspective, i.e. your attitude towards Jesus, your perspective towards Jesus will impact the reality of your perception of him, your understanding of him. Your attitude towards Jesus will impact your understanding of him. So specifically to this moment right now, is your attitude towards Jesus that he is the good shepherd? Is he the good shepherd to you? Is the reality of all of that image of shepherd and sheep unpacks, is he the good shepherd to you? Is your attitude towards him that? If it isn't, if Jesus is not the good shepherd in your attitude towards him, your perception, your understanding of him will be massively impacted. And so hearing and knowing and understanding and recognizing his voice and being able to follow him will be really difficult. It will be really difficult. And so for me, in learning to know and recognize and understand the voice of Jesus in my life, my perspective, number one, my perspective is really important to me. My attitude towards him is important. I believe that he's the good shepherd in my life. I believe that he cares, that he protects, that he values, that he cherishes me, that he leads me out. I believe that Jesus goes on ahead of me. I believe that he's the good shepherd in my life. Therefore, my understanding, my perception of who he is shaped because of that. And so the story moves on, and Mary says, well, tell me where he is. And Jesus just says to her, Mary, he says her name, which is the second point here, which is familiarity. The second thing that for me is helpful in learning to know and recognize the voice of Jesus is familiarity. It wasn't until she heard something familiar that she realized who he was. It wasn't until she realized and heard that name that she would have heard before in the same tone that it would have been said before, I'm sure, that she was able to recognize who was speaking to her. I saw a video clip today. I was trying to find something good to show you. I couldn't. Everything's terrible on this. And we should do something about that. This clip I watched didn't show it right to me. Because Mary, in the story, in this clip, Mary's crying at the tomb and the angels say the thing, and then she turns around and Jesus is like hiding behind some plants, like tending the garden. And the camera angle, Mary's like there, and the camera angle, you can see all of Jesus, everything but Jesus, but his face. And it implies that perspective to me, that what that's saying is that Jesus was like hiding behind the trees until he couldn't, and then it was him that did the big reveal, and he was like, hello, Mary, it's me. I don't think it reads like that, because she turns around and sees him standing there. For me, he stood right there. He's like eyeballing her. So I don't think it was that in the physical realm she couldn't see him because he was like tending to some trees. I think he was stood right there. She could see him, but she didn't realize who he was until she heard something familiar. And I guess I want to say to you regarding that, there will be for many of you in this room times in your life where Jesus has done something or God has done something in your life that you can remember. Things that that he's done or things that he said to you. Incredibly important bits of scripture that you have in your life where God has really, really guided you through stuff and shown you important things. There will be really key things in this book. There will be maybe pictures or prophetic words that people have given you or dreams that you've had at nighttime or whatever it is, there will be things that are familiar to you about God, about Jesus. There will be familiar things. I want to say to you this evening, re-engage yourself with the familiar things of God in your life. Re-engage yourself with the things that he's already said to you, the things that he's done in your life. Re-familiarize yourself with the testimony of Jesus in your life. Because sometimes it's when you hear something familiar, it's that propels you into the next thing. And when she heard her name, it was when she realized at the sound of her name that she went and he sent her off. So I want to ask you to re-familiarize yourself with the testimony of Jesus in your life. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Okay. You can flick back to John chapter 10. That would be a good thing to do. So we looked at a few things. We've hopefully outlined the importance of knowing the voice of the shepherd. It's really important. If you're going to follow him, you need to know his voice. And to know his voice, it's about saturating yourself in him. That above all else, because that's the thing that will help you distinguish between what is him and what isn't him. There's stories of people who tend sheep, and they play games with their friends, with their sheep. And they tell them to say exact the same phrases, exact as much as the same tone as they can possibly do as the shepherd, and call the sheep forward. And the sheep do not budge at all. And then the shepherd says exactly the same phrase with almost exactly the same tone, and the sheep come rushing forward. They're just saturated in the shepherd's voice. Are you saturated with the shepherd? And then we've looked at perspective. One of the keys to unlocking the knowledge of his voice is around your attitude, your perspective, your attitude towards him. Is he the good shepherd to you? Is that your attitude towards him? Is he that tonight? And we've looked at the importance of familiarity. What I want to do just to finish is I want to give you six words, and you could probably pick more too, but I want to give you six words that help define the shepherd. And I want you to pay attention to each word. I'm going to read them a couple of times. And I want you to pay attention to which one or two or three or maybe all six, but which of these words are the ones that in this moment tonight are the ones that really grab your heart, grab your mind? What are the ones that you think tonight God is trying to get your attention on? And then we're going to spend some time praying for whatever it is that is in that word for you. Okay? And we're going to take a few minutes to do that. Is that okay? So I'm going to ask us to stand. Jenny, I'm going to ask you to go up and just help give us the right tone for this. The what? Yeah, you can stand. Yeah, please stand. Yeah, if you want. Paul said a few times recently that if God has already spoken to you tonight and you've already got the thing that you feel like you came for, then do switch off at this point and just engage with the thing that's already going on in your heart. I want to give you six words that help characterize the shepherd. I'm going to read this a few times, just six words, and I want you to pay attention. Pay attention to those things that are in those words for you. Okay, number one, the shepherd tends his sheep. He tends. Number two, the shepherd leads his sheep. Number three, the shepherd guides his sheep. Number four, the shepherd cherishes his sheep. Number five, the shepherd feeds his sheep. Number six, the shepherd protects his sheep. Okay, we're going to read those a couple more times. Just pay attention. Pay attention to what words are grabbing you right now. Which of these words? Number one, the shepherd tends his sheep. Number two, the shepherd leads his sheep. Number three, the shepherd guides his sheep. Number four, the shepherd cherishes his sheep. Number five, the shepherd feeds his sheep. And number six, the shepherd protects his sheep. One more time. Number one, the shepherd tends his sheep. Number two, the shepherd leads his sheep. 3, the shepherd guides his sheep. Number 4, the shepherd cherishes his sheep. Number 5, the shepherd feeds his sheep. Number 6, the shepherd protects his sheep. I'm using those words, and the reason I've chosen to start our response in this way is because I believe that there's some work that the Lord wants to do tonight with some of our hearts, with some of these words. And a lot of that is to do with perspective. It's to do with your attitude towards Him. Do you believe that He tends to you, He cares for you? Do you believe that He leads and guides you, that He cherishes you, that He wants to feed you and He wants to protect you? Where there are areas of uncertainty about that, I just believe that the Lord wants to come and meet you and to work on those things with you this evening. And so I want to just start by asking you, just if any of those words or if anything that has been said so far this evening is resonating with your heart or your mind or whatever is going on right now, I just want you to put a hand on your heart. Just put a hand on your heart. Really simple. If any of those words, thank you, Jesus. And just bring that thing or those words or whatever it is particularly, bring those things to mind. I just want to ask you to be brave and to pray this prayer in your heart with me. And it's just this. Jesus, I invite you to come and do whatever it is that you want to do in this particular area of my life tonight. Okay? That's the prayer. It's a brave, brave prayer, that. It's a brave prayer. And some of you might not feel like you can pray that. That's absolutely fine. You know, the thing about the shepherd that he does first, he goes into the pen. The shepherd wasn't waiting outside of the pen for you to come to him. He comes into the pen. He comes to get you. And so let's pray that prayer. If you want to pray that prayer, you start praying that prayer right now. You may want to say it like 20 times. But Jesus, I invite you to come and do whatever it is that you want to do in that area of my life tonight. Jesus, I invite you to come and do whatever it is you want to do in that area of my life tonight. Yeah. So Jesus, we welcome you to come. We welcome you just to come and do those things. And the Lord is already just beginning to work with people right now. He's just beginning to touch people. And we're just going to wait. Just going to wait a bit. And you don't need to feel uncomfortable about this waiting. I know it's quiet and stuff, but don't feel uncomfortable about that. The Lord is just going to come and do some really wonderful things tonight. I really believe that. And if at any point during the next few minutes that you feel like God really is beginning to work and stir in this stuff for you, I just want you to move your hand from your heart and just to place it out in front of you, just as a sign that, yep, something's going on. Jesus, you're doing something. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. if at this point you feel like you don't think anything's going on and you're feeling a bit worried by that, don't be. It's okay. Remember, it's much more about him than it is about you. You don't have to force it. You don't have to try and make it up. Just allow him just to do whatever it is that he wants to do. Remember the activity of the sheep, to listen, to know, and to follow.